we ask and receive it this morning, this afternoon, to grant to our minds, our thinking, rational, grant to us insight in your word. Let our thinking submit to yours. Let our thoughts be yours this day. Let no mind receive a contradiction or an error. Let everything received this day be precision, accuracy, in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let all minds be focused on him and see him as he sees us in him. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, this day we'll be teaching an old teaching. Well, we always go back to the archives. Something I taught in, taught it in 1999, called it Racing or Running Against Time. 1998, actually. And then there was a retreat we used to have back then. That's what is similar to the World Changers Conference. We used to call it the Holy Ghost Retreat. That was the period we didn't have the World Changers Conference, between 2000, 2001, 3 till 5, when we took it up again. And so in those, at that period, we used to have emphases, meetings that would have particular emphases on what we believe the Lord laid on our hearts to share with believers. So that particular year, we had one we called the sensitivity of the heart, putting the believer's attention on being careful. And just over the last 2-3 weeks, I've been having the same impressions to share with all of us. And so this is not exactly one of the things we teach doctrinally. This will be taken like a prophetic teaching. That is, this will be something the Spirit of God wants your attention to be on now. And I'm not talking to the body of Christ, though it might apply. I'm talking to you, where I have authority over as the church pastor. Sensitivity of the heart. There is a time to check yourself and look at yourself. Believers must always judge themselves. You must judge yourself. We have the capacity to judge ourselves. Paul says that you might not be judged. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11 and 29, I believe. No, 32. That you might not be judged. Judged together with the world. And so, the times we examine ourselves, we look at ourselves for ourselves. Let me just get that quote right. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, actually. We should not be judged. So in Luke 12, and then pay good attention. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And Jesus gave a parable, and that parable was about a man that we have so titled now, The Rich Fool. You know, in verse 15, he says, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, notice what he called covetousness. Beware of covetousness. The word he used in there is the word blepo. That is, you will lose. Blepo means look at it closely. Observe. You know, when I can say, well, that brother is wearing a suit. Generalization. But then I begin to tell you what designer it is. I'm not going to embarrass you. What's in his suit? What's the money in his pocket? I'm going to ask you to give it. I'm not going to ask you to give it. The kind of belt he uses. That means I'm now taking time to look closely. That's the word beware. Watch out. Observe. So he says, observe or watch closely is a word used for investigations. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That's a bit difficult because we grew up to own things. You own your pencil. Sometimes even in the primary school, you own the desk that you didn't bring from home. You have this possession mentality. It's mine! It's mine! I worked for it. Is the sweat or the labor of my sweat? One time back there, I was on the driver's seat in my dad's car. 504 GL. You don't know what that is? You know there's GL, there's GR, and then there's SR. And there's ST or something. Then you now have evolution. All those cars now cannot even be used for taxis. Then I was just in the, he asked me to wash it, and I was at the driver's seat. He said, "Do you know what it takes to buy a car?" Now, what I'm going to say to you is, I'm not joking. Then he told me the story of how he did that for his brother in the 60s. And then, so, that inspired him to walk. So somewhere in my mind, I decided to work at it. So you see. He actually said more than that, but let me save his memory. So I decided to walk towards it. For me, it was an inspiration. Now, interestingly, that 2 years or so after that, 2 or 3 years, someone after I preached gave me a car. This was, I can't remember, it was 23 years ago. Gave me a car. Just the same year I got a house. For me, that was a, see what I'm saying? What do you think you have? It looked like a dream come true. Do you understand? And then it became an inspiration to do something, to own your own thing. It looks legitimate. But somehow, I began to value life from that perspective. Jesus said, "Beware, lest you start to judge yourself by the things you own or you don't own." Now, notice the parable, the story that goes after was a certain man in verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man, so it's a rich man. Now, if Jesus says somebody is rich, it's not a confession. Do you get the point? Then I'm going to say, "I am rich in Christ." I understand that part. But this man is rich. Hallelujah. Whereas unbelievers confess in confusion. Say, "I'm rich." As if you have not seen rich before. When you see rich, you keep quiet. Your confession will go to hell. The real hell. He said, "This man is rich. He's got a lot of money. He brought forth plentiful." So say plentiful. Say plentiful. "And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no more room where to bestow my fruit.'" Imagine, if this guy is your friend, you say, "Come and see something." See, he gives a testimony. See, look at it. That I have so much. You can't even say, you can't value me. Ah! That man carries something. He says, now this man is not dishonest. We don't have any story whether he stole money. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit." And he said, "This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul," is the point. Soul, that word soul there means my life. "Thou hast much goods laid up for many years." This is financial intelligence. For many years. I bought properties all over the place. I look at my future, I see it is bright. That's what he's saying here. Then he says, "Thou hast much good for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." And God said unto him, now if God says this to you, that is who you are. It's not abusive. He says, "Fool." You and I would never have called this man a fool. He has saved up for the future. I mean, That's a wise man. He has worked hard. He says, look, like we say in the natural, the man has worked, let him enjoy. You're all quiet. I'm preaching from the Bible, right? Am I preaching good? I'm not preaching good. Why? He says, I've saved up. Yeah, I see the man. He worked all his life. Now he's old. He has worked hard. He bought shares, even in Mars. He has landed property in Pluto. Which one of the proper planets don't exist again? One of them, I don't know. He has so much. So now he wants to travel around. There was one of my dad's friends, the man is a billionaire, one of Nigeria's richest men. He said now, he has a lot of money. He's not making money. He was saying that thing that day, and there was a believer beside me. He said, now, my money is working for me. He said, he now wants to visit every country in the world. The man said he has many children, that if he gives each of them a billion, it doesn't touch his wealth. That brother said, tight! You know? And I smiled. Foolish man. So what is that? The man boasted. So the brother said, That's the glory of God. The man is a Muslim. I forgot to add that. Not a baby Muslim. A teleos Muslim. No longer tossed to and fro. How do you get my definition? And so, as he said those things, of course the other brother was affected. If I lie, then I lie. I was also affected small. He said, I want to just travel around the world. Like, what he just wants to do is to go around the world. This is exactly what Jesus was saying. Now let me relax. I've worked hard. His soul, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Fool, then whose shall those things be that you are provided? Wow. That's a big question. I thought they were his. You know, normally you say, but they are my own, no? So, no, when you leave, they are no longer yours. That shows the transient nature of things that we own. You can never own anything for life. Take that to your heart deeply. You can never. When I was growing up, my dad, he built a house. And there were areas where we couldn't get to. We couldn't get to those places. They were exclusive. His room, you go in when you have a serious request. And you go in like you're going to the holiest of all. You approach him, not with boldness, with shamefacedness. Then you go in. When he died, he didn't know what we did with you. He had control over it. Brethren who didn't know him entered the room. Brethren of this church. Some slept there. That's how it is. So Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Then he begins to tell us how he manifests and is gradual. In verse 22, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither what for the body, what you shall put on. Let's take verse 23 together. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Praise the Lord. He's saying, your first priority in life, okay, should be what is valuable. Or invaluable, pardon me. Not what can be valued. Say life is more. Sometimes we get so worked up about life's demands. So worked up. The guy said, I've had a bad day. And I asked him a question. Would you rather have no day? He said, I never thought like that. Well, think about it. There is still day to be called bad or good. What if there's no day? Praise the Lord. Are you still there? And then we are walked up, our life is taking over. Say, I want to have this, I want to have that. And sometimes we live our lives trying to satisfy people. I'm telling you. Left to many of us, if you were just to please yourself, you probably would not be driving the car you're driving. But you know, you want to do something, you probably be dressing more simpler. But you know, how would they, my former classmates, they would think that I'm finished. If I just wear, of course, if you wear Chelsea jersey, they would think that way. That's normal. But you see, they would think that way. I get that point. Praise the Lord. But if you say, no, I must dress somehow. But you know, he's a man of God. The guy told me sometimes, he said, now your car is like the man of God's car. That was in 2004. A BMW. He said, the other one, you look like just a supporting minister. A Christian. He said, but this one, is a man of God's car. When you are right, the anointing arrives. The truth of the matter is that, as she said it, the back of my mind, I liked it. That's true. She be having man of God car. Covetousness will just enter your mind. Alone. Are you following this? Do you know that the rich fool did not do anything illegitimate? So don't think Jesus is talking about stealing things. No. Whatever he was doing was legitimate. This world system runs on the basis of seeking things. Worry and anxiety. We save up fixed deposits. We fix the fixed deposits because of fear. We buy up land and say, quick thing is called financial intelligence. You have to buy, when you buy property, it's in the next 5 years. Some will say, no, come and buy land. If you buy a land today in my village, in the next 6 years, somebody bought it 5 years ago, 1,000. It is now 1,000,000. You just, the land just go, pam! Because you want to secure your future. Then you take money. You buy it. Then your mind is at rest. But if somebody says, I need money, the same amount, and you give it to the person, in your mind, is waste. Oh, you don't want to nod. But if you put it in the property, you say, that's wisdom. Wisdom is profitable for director. Or direct. Wisdom is profitable for a director. That's wisdom. You know, you'll be more at rest because you saved your money in a bank. Look at it. But you save it somewhere. Maybe when you save it in a bank, like banks that look more everlasting. You put it there. You buy a property in a place. Say, my mind is at rest. That's what Jesus is talking about. And you see, it's funny that this is exactly opposite of how the world thinks. Hallelujah. Praise God. The world owns. You live to own is mine. That house, I bought it when I was 18. This one, I was 22. But at that time, my mates were carrying girlfriend. But I had this. Now I can carry it. I couldn't carry it then. So he says that. He says, that man has been wise. Jesus says, God caught that fellow a fool. He's in your bag. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6. Are you listening to me? The same story. Matthew's gospel. Glory to his name. Look at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and what? Mammon. You can't serve God and money. Either you hate one, love the other. Of course, when you use the word hate, you're talking about preference. In other words, Jesus is teaching us to have priority. You cannot love them the same way. Now, it's very obvious that you can't serve God for money. You are either serving money or you are serving God. So, he talks about priority. In other words, he talks about let your eye be single. That is, let there be a focus of your life. I'm going to ask you a question this afternoon. What is really most important to you? For you? Everything can be the same way. What is the dearest thing to your heart? That's what he's talking about. The other man with the rich fool, he's putting things together. Things. Owning things. Owning things. He says, look here. He says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Hallelujah. A man's life. There was a man I met. He had these precious stones that was valued by the GIA in America. One of them was valued at $400 million. One of them. And the other one was valued about $250 million. You can put it in a small bag and nobody will know that's what's in it. And then, I was talking to the man about his life. He was an elderly man and he wanted to sell it off. He put it in a bank. So, in fact, before you go and see it, before you see it, that you see it the way I'm seeing you, you deposit with the bank $50,000 just to see. That if you see it and you don't buy it or don't place an order for it, you lose your $50,000. So you don't go there and see it like you are shopping, you are doing a, what do you call this thing? Window shop. You don't window shop things for $400 million. You don't say, I just want to go and see it. $50,000. And then if you want the man to come and sit with you, you will have to fuel his jet. He flies from Tulsa, Oklahoma, not Tulsa. To, where was the thing? I think it was San Francisco or something. You fly in, then you pay, you fuel the jet for about $10,000. So even to go and check, you have to have what it takes to check. Then I was talking to him. He was ill. Very ill. And I was talking about Jesus, and he said, well, I know Jesus, but I don't believe everything you guys say about him. He has a lot of money. Enough. But that actually had nothing to do with his life. Hope you get what I'm talking about. You will have thought a man with that kind of amount of money should not be sick. But he's sick. Seriously sick. And he said to me, he said, I might die anytime. He said, why do you want to sell this stuff? He said, I want to sell it so that I can leave something for my children. Said, because I know I'm done. He had gas fields in America, you know, and all that. And I said, I need you to hear the gospel. He said, well, I'll hear the gospel. I've heard it before, and all that, and all that. So he was talking using F words and stuff. By the next month, he now started talking. Can I hear about Jesus? Because everything. I said, no. I want to talk business. I said, no. I want to. I said, no, let's talk business. Said, no. I want to hear about Jesus. At that point, the other guy who was negotiating with him said, he said, he can even sell it for any amount at this point. He was seeing death more than his money. And he knew whatever he had in that bank had nothing to do with his life. That's a reality people often face when they are about to die. But a Christian should know it early enough. Let me tell you what I'm saying here. It's a simple thing about life. You know what I'm talking about. So, a man's life. The world may deceive you that your life is what is in your account, but don't deceive yourself. Don't. I learned this. There are a bank out here, sorry, but I'm going to say it. Said there's so much money in the banks that people who are there, they own them, but nobody can claim them. So they watch for a while. What is that? Nobody's coming in. No letter of administration. Nobody is there. Then they begin to take the thing small, small. Sometimes they take it all. That's instructive. The guy kept it there and never was able to take it again. Because that is not his life. Praise the Lord. Yet, legitimately, we go out in the mornings. We come back in the evenings. We travel to places to acquire these things, and they are legitimate things. Yet, those things we pursue legitimately must never be seen as our life. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Legitimate things. I go for a degree. You know, the pursuit. You pursue your PhD. You say, I want to become a professor. I want to, you know, you want, I want to have this. The question you ask yourself is, to what intent is it? Because many times we're caught in a race against ourselves. So, don't forget, we're talking sensitivity of the heart. Look at Ephesians 5. What should be the believer's approach? There was nothing wrong in the rich man, that rich fellow in Luke 12, having things. That's not it. Jesus did not say, do not think about what you are going to wear. That wouldn't be good. How would I think about what I'm going to wear? What I'm going to eat? Jesus himself asked his disciples, what is available to be eaten? So that's not what he's saying. He's talking about what drives you and I. What drives us? What drives you? Every day, every morning. A guy will wake up 3 a.m. to get to work by 4. He comes home to his family by 12 midnight. The children are sleeping. His wife is sleepwalking. Just waiting. Are you home? Is it you? She goes back to sleep. By 3 o'clock, he's out again. So I say, but he has to walk. No, he doesn't have to. No. There are other things he can do that is not that way. Our pastor, but then, let's be realistic. That's what we are saying. 3 hours. Even his own life is not taking care of it. But he's seeing his dreams come to pass. The dream car. Maybe they now give him an official car. A car he saw as a prophetic word. He now sees it. So to change his job, he has to change his car, his mode of living. You fly business class. You know business class is different from other classes. Don't deceive yourself. Oh. Business class, then you have first class. There was a time I flew, and then they had this, I think it was Emirates or so, maybe. And there's a staircase that takes the first class to go up. You'll be seeing them go up. You'll be down. Literally, it's literal. You are down, they are up. Someone told me in the plane, say, what is there? I said, you are not told to find out. How can you find out? What is there? I don't know. When you get there, you will see. Then you have to change your job. The first thing is, I will have to be going down, not up. You are not considering the more valuable things in life. Hallelujah. Who's following what I'm saying to you? Think about it. He said, you can't serve two masters. You love one, you hate the other. In other words, you prefer one over the other. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, that's what he says, wherein is excess. The word excess there is the word asotia. A-S-O-T-I-A. I want you to listen very well. Now, this talks about a desire that is not controlled. Titus 1:6, Paul mentions, uses the same word asotia, Titus 1:6. Not accused of riot, uncontrolled behavior. 1 Peter 4:4. An uncontrolled behavior, uncontrolled appetite, excess of riot. The word there now, you know the word sozo. What sozo? To save, right? Come on. Sozo is what? To save. Now this is to put alpha and sozo. That means negative sozo. You get it? Asotia means you do not have restraint. There is no control. No control. You have no control. Your desire for things has so much motivated you that that's even how you choose who to marry. That's how you choose how to marry. That's how you choose where to marry and when to marry. That's how you choose everything. Uncontrolled appetite. Praise the Lord. Excessive behavior. He says, don't have an excessive appetite. Rather, be full of the Holy Spirit. So, he says, restrain this one, allow this one. Pleroma is the word there. Be full of the Spirit. Don't be full of desires for things. Be full of what? The Spirit. One is material, the other is immaterial. Or non-material. Be full of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 7. He didn't say don't take wine. He said do not be drunk with wine when in excess. People have asked, that is wine is sin. No, I'm not into all that discussion. We've talked that over and over again. I don't take it. Not at all. Don't take wine or alcohol. I don't. But my point is this. He says, wherein is what? Excess. That is, let us be excessive about the things of the Spirit. Not about material things, appetites, things that we consume on each other, on one, also on ourselves. It says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. That's ministry. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. The epistles teach us to be controlled. Have controlled desires, controlled appetites, controlled ambition. The guy asked me a question one day. Pastor, can't I aspire to be a professor? Can't I aspire to be a governor? Or a president of the nation? Or maybe today, a footballer? That's critical. Can't I aspire? I said, you can. It's your legitimate right. But not at any cost. At the cost of your spiritual life, at the cost of your family, at the cost of your health, at the cost of your relationships. No. You can, but not at any cost. Who's following what I'm saying here? You can. You sure can. But not at any cost. What is the cost of that ambition? Home? Your home? How do you want to function as a husband Jesus teaches us to be with that ambition? How do you want to function in the house of God? How do you want to function and then treat your body as a temple of the Holy Ghost with that ambition? How do you want to take care of yourself? How do you want to do this? Because you have already decided that this or nothing. So at what cost? Sometimes we want to do things at any cost. And we close our eyes to realities of life. Sometimes your health. Praise the Lord. Your health. Sometimes your sanity. Your prayer life. Sometimes you want to travel. I wanted to leave the country years ago. And I wanted to leave. About 22 years now. And I wanted to leave. I'd gotten everything checked. And I purposely did not pray about it. It was deliberate. So, that when I'm through, I'll pray about it. You know what I'm talking about? I just said no. I now closed my ears. I kept doing what I was doing. Uncontrolled behavior. And finally, so let me pray about this thing. I knew the answer before I prayed. I knew it. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just say, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. No, you don't have to. Not at any cost. And so, look at 1 Corinthians 7. You learning something? All right, good. See this. Verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that they that have wives be as though they have none. Now, this is not like behaving like an irresponsible husband. That's not what he's saying. Verse 30. And they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. Now, notice something. He's talking self-control here. Self-control as though. He says those that buy. Now, the word buy there is the word agorazo, used 30 times, agorazo, A-G-O-R-A-Z-O. It means to go to the market to buy things, to own. That is when you go, it has two shapes of meaning. You go to buy things, and you go to also trade. A market person. You go to buy. Those that buy, you go to buy things, you have money. You buy stuff. It says, those that buy, as though they possess not. Katacho. K-A-T-E-C-H-O. K-A-T-E-C-H-O. Which means, you go somewhere, then you buy a house. He's asking you not to buy. But act like you don't own it. Because eventually you will not. Do you understand what he's saying? Are you following what he's saying here? You bought it with your money, alright, your name is on it. But it says that, treat it like someone understands eternal life. So act like you don't own it. What that means is that whatever you own will not own your thinking. It won't own what you do. It won't own your life. You will treat earthly things lightly. Like you don't own it. You bought it with your money. Your legally acquired resources. But you say you're going to act like it's not your own. Because eventually, it won't be yours. Your name can be on it. But eventually, it won't be yours. So because the time is short. Look at the next thing he says. You learning something? Verse 31. Are you learning something? And they that use this world. Now the word use is the word krahomai. C-H-R-A-O-M-A-I. Krahomai. It means to take advantage of this world. When you have privileges in this world. For example, the kind of family you're born. The kind of job you do. The kind of position you are in the society. Maybe you're a politician. Maybe you are in the top echelons of society. He says you have these privileges, these advantages. You have these things that are accrued unto you. You know, as though you don't have it. And sometimes we put our attention. I was with a preacher a couple of days ago. Preached for him. So, he now asked me a question. We're at the airport and I was to leave. So he said, Pastor Chris, I've been trying to ask you this question. You know, they gave me some privileges. And I said, I didn't want them. He said, why do you do that? Is it that you're led by the Spirit? In fact, they were to go on a journey. I was to preach in a particular state, another state in, within a few hours. I'll preach here in the morning, preach here in the air, come back again. So they got an helicopter. I said, not me. I'll go by road. I'll be back. He now asked me a question. He said, it's just to help your health. And I said, I know. But there's a way I want to think. Allow me to think that way. I know it's a privilege for me. I mean, I deserve it actually, because I was going to preach a few hours here, a few hours there. But I said, it's just good for me. He said, we got you security escort. You said you didn't want it. I said, let me tell you one story. I said, how old were you in 2004? Were you in the ministry? He said, no. I said, I went to a nation in Africa and they took convoy. The presidential convoy came to the airport tarmac to pick me. Some of you know what I'm saying. I said, so that's in the world. You don't expect me to be thrilled at that. Something the world offered me because I went to do business. I didn't go to preach. Oh. They didn't even know I was a preacher. I said, so, those things, yes, they are in the world and they're not bad. But a believer must have a way he just refrains from those things. Maybe not all the time, because sometimes they are good. Shundai. But sometimes you just keep yourself sane. Just be sane. He said, we offered you a 5-star hotel. And you said, no. I sit in someone's place. A guest house of a sort said, it's fine. I've slept in 5 stars. I've slept in 7 stars. Now room. Is it true? If you're not born again in 5 stars, you'll be born again in 1 star. Someone said, but it doesn't matter. I know. That's why I didn't take it. You can just choose. You can just choose to show you have control. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you just choose that this week I'll take BRT. And you have very good cars. So, no. At your status. Don't say that to me again. What status? I am in Christ. And I'm above this world. Hallelujah. See, those that use this world, you have the advantage. See, let me say, the Bible accepts that we are different. Don't say, everybody in Christ will be rich. Anybody that says that is just toasting you. It's true. Say, as though you don't own those things. Some people, the moment they make them something in the society, maybe they just promoted you from assistant manager to deputy manager. You know, there are two things in Nigeria. Assistant manager in my father's bank in the 80s, and they are principal manager, chief manager. I said, what is the meaning of this? Principal manager, assistant chief manager, principal manager. You are coming to church. They now give you official car. You now drove it to the front of the gate. No, you're not parking there. You just want to drop your family there. You're like, Papa! I've arrived. You are very carnal. Now calm down. Now, you now stay long a bit and be cleaning the windscreen. That's what you are doing there. Don't forget, from assistant manager to deputy manager. He says, we don't have to even know the kind of car you drive. It's just as though you don't own them. See, you have that position. You are the governor of your country, of your state. And you come to church. And you don't bring in your security. As you enter, the siren is already pam, pam. The ushers just move. But you bring your own ushers. If you are in Nigeria, you will do that. They are coming. As they are coming, they are pouring flour for you. If you are coming to church, and the pastor is already teaching, you now come and say, I'm very sorry for disturbing the church. What's that? You knew what you were doing. You now come, you now sit. You know? Say, why can't you just come in? Like a human being that you are. You don't have more, you don't have two lives. You have just one life. You will know it one day. That your life does not have monetary value. Pay all you can. It won't measure up. Can't you just act like you are not a rich person? Is it difficult for you? Solomon says the rich talks roughly.
Yes. Yes. When you were a copper, trekking Lagos, like you have become GPS. So say hello. Good morning, sir. You don't know you. Good morning, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are you? Yes, sir. That'll be your phone. Hello. Who is that? You are kind of, you are acting what is in your pocket. The guy now says, I am John Brown. From where? Say, from down Makoko. How did you get my number? Makoko, Banana Island. I know they are both on the island, but then. How did you get my number? But the guy said, John Brown, I am actually the special assistant to the President of America. Ah, good morning, sir. See your life? See your life? You are acting your status. He said, as though you don't have it. Watch this. Are you there? He says, as not abusing it. The word abusing it is the same word Paul used in 1 Corinthians 9:8. To use something fully is the word kata, K-A-T-A, C-H-R-A-O-M-I. You know, kraomai means to take advantage. You know, it says, don't take full advantage. That you just be conservative. You have the right, you have the privilege, you were born in a very, you were not born with silver spoon, golden spoon, diamond spoon. That's not born with golden spoon. Don't start to copy them. Some of you want to do wedding, you go ovation. Don't you know the family you came from? You are watching ovation. And your own, by the time you give your bill to your parents for your wedding, they will start to borrow money. You now go and see people in ovation who did not even know who spent the money on their wedding. There's some rich people, they won't spend a dime. They say, I want that dream wedding. You are dreaming. You now stress everybody that the guy that is marrying you actually knows that he's a body. Because you are, even if you have money, can't you just be conservative? Everyone say it's an expression of the glory of God. You are sick. You are actually sick. And they stress themselves. Someone was telling me that this ring in my hand is worth 30,000 pounds. I looked at the ring again. Some people, what their grandfather gave to their father, what they are bequeathing to them, that ring is much more than it. It will be a collateral for their family. Now, that kind of person wants to do wedding for his daughter or her daughter, you want to copy the person. Are you not sincerely stupid? I mean, some people, there's no point. And even the person that has the wealth, Paul says, don't use it fools. Praise the Lord. I must demonstrate the glory. I know there's some churches like that. That's what they preach. Show the glory of God. And the glory of God for them are things. The pastor and the congregation, they are both sick. Really sick. Can't you just be, see, there's nothing in the life of God that is extravagant. Nothing. Jehovah Ephesi. That idol in your village is Jehovah Ephesi. The God of all effects. It is the idol they worship in the temple in your village. That is the God of Ephesi. You are, whoever says that about God is sick. This is God who came among men. And where was he found? Among animals. That is not just a fact. It's a lesson. That the one who owned the world came to this world. And he was depending on people to eat. How would you now call him a God of all effects? A God of Ephesus? You are sick. He said those that have the world. As though they don't own it. You will not act what you have. You put you in ushering department, or they put you in operations. You don't say, I just don't know, I just joined this department, and what do? We clean the floor. Oh, I'm thinking But then we are talking. You know, there are some perfumes. When you wear it, it takes over everybody's perfume. It's total dominion. Your own perfume will now be looking like fat. In the presence of a new perfume, somebody shook my hand. And the perfume overcame my own perfume. My hand. I had my bath. 3 days after, the thing was smelling. Hi. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now say, can I get some guys in my office? I can get some cleaners for the church. Oga, join the department. Take mop, stick and do the job and stop that. No. What if we see you, a multi-millionaire, carrying chain? That is the Christian. Not, I can call some guys quickly, they'll do the cleaning for us. He just doesn't want to be found in the toilet cleaning. I remember years ago, I just come back from a crusade, myself and my friends. We used to call ourselves College of Bishops. I won't tell you the year. So they used to call me Good Shepherd or Senior Shepherd. We had an Archbishop. Okay, I was also Archbishop. Now the Arch is Hack Bishop. Hack Bishop. Then we now had a Pope. We had a Pope. We had a Bishop. Then we had the other stuff like that. Just some things we did like stupid boys. So we went for a camp meeting. So in that camp meeting, we're told to clean toilets. People are given responsibilities. So we had a Holy Ghost meeting. People had closed for the camp at 10. We now had our own Holy Ghost meeting till about 1 a.m. You know, we have to demonstrate these things now. How can we be here? We'll just be watching somebody preach. We have to do our things. So we slept late. So he came to us, Monica, you guys, you are supposed to clean that toilet. I look at that guy like, are you mad? Me. An apostle. Not to the nations, to the universe. Me. My friend was like, okay, don't mind. But the second friend said, don't cast your pearls before science. I said, yeah. We're fleeing ourselves. What do you have not received? If you remove Holy Ghost from your life, you know you are just clean. So, Pastor Ladini was like, our father then, Dan came and said, Onoika! Of course, we were very afraid. We just woke up. Said, why did you not clean the toilet? We were tired, you know. We couldn't look into that. We would say, just 2 days ago, a blind eye was open. I was saying that in my mind. A blind eye was open. I laid down as I thought, I preached. Understand God's word now. Toilet. In my mind. So it just says something that, or your anointing is too much for toilet. Are you greater than Jesus Christ? How we entered. That's how we went there with our glory. All of us. The man could deal with us very well. We just went there. How much you move this thing? But somewhere in my mind, a lesson was learned. Who really are you? You are just a man. Praise the Lord. Tell yourself the truth. You are just a man. When they came to Paul and Barnabas, I said, see, for you are glorious. I know you can say, demons tremble at my presence. Is it just at your own presence? What a mighty God I have. It can't be your presence. You know that your presence is nothing. It's because greater is he that is in you. So you are relying on someone's strength. Praise the Lord. So don't over-confess. I forget your confession is based on someone. Are you following what I'm saying? You're a man of God. Because you can teach. Some people can just quote Greek jokes. Their shoulder will just have shoulder part. Emoji. Bless you. You can't say S again. Bless you. Spirit, the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ. You are crazy. Not crazy. Crazy. I'm telling you. What's wrong with you? That means you don't know Jesus. When you know Jesus, well, talk to my PA. I'm not okay. See, that's true. You are in that department. You don't even know your age. You don't even know where you came from. Say, well, sorry, I won't be around for department meeting. I'm going to Tulsa. From there, I'm going to travel to Mexico. And or God, just say I'm traveling. So say, then of course, maybe you're not this church, your HOD too, lost. So say, oh, that's good to see you up. When you come, what are you bringing for us? Idiots. You know, in this place, they don't listen to things like that. If you like, fly to hell, come back. Come and do what I have to do. It's true. Those that have this world, don't use it for this. Be reserved. Praise the Lord. It's the same word Paul used in 1 Corinthians 9, 12 and 15. I have these privileges, but I'm not going to use it. 1 Corinthians 9, 12 and 15. 1 Corinthians 9, 8. Why? Look at verse 31. Let's finish it. For the passion of this world does what? Huh? Let me tell you, there is no position that is forever. There was a fellow that I met in Guinea. And that guy, he was so arrogant. He was so arrogant that he would drive a Benz, Mercedes Benz, and then he leads the convoy. He would just be shooting in the air. Bah! Just from cast to clear. Bah, bah, bah! Bah! He uses arrogance for me, oh. I'll tell the truth. I called him years later when he changed power. His voice was now conservative. He's now sort of talking like a human being. The fashion of this world passes away. Look at the cars you bought. A car you buy, 2017 model. You look at it like, see eternity. Just wait till the end of the year. Just the next year. The same people now create 2018 model. What does that mean? They are giving you sense. The passion of this world passes away. Some things you want to buy, you use your money to buy, makeup, hairdo. After a few months, another one will come. Brazilian hair, Mongolian hair, foundation, cornerstone, designer, everything. Things just change. Rolls Royce released a car. They're going to release the car this year. Is it next year? Next year. And I saw the car again. So people will be dreaming. I must own this one. I must own this one. The next one, I must own it. You see some Christians. I want to be the first. I want to be the largest. Okay, when you are the first, is that all? The first Christian station in Africa. After that, the largest church in Europe. Uh-huh. So when somebody is now larger than them, you now go largest. You are pursuing vanity. A race you will never end. Let your life be under control. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? He says the fashion of this world, what happens to it? It passes away. It's the same word used in 1 John 2:18 and 17. It will pass away. Watch this. It says the fashion, the word there is the vogue, things in vogue. The form. Have restraint. What did I say? Have restraint. Don't use all you have. Be conservative. Even in ministry. Someone asked me, why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? I say, I'm taking my time. You need to learn self-control. As a younger preacher, I was in my second year in university. When a man came from Canada and he linked me up with arguably then, you know, one of the most, if not the most renowned evangelists, who said he wanted us to be together and travel around the world. And I said no. The guy said, pray about it, man of God. This man likes you. You know the word. I said no. Today, the man is not as popular as he was. That was not even the reason. The reason was just, I like to take my time.
Just be slow. Why are you rushing? Why? What's the point? You will run a race that never ends. That's why you keep changing relationships. Ah, this one is the largest church, you go there. That's the largest star church, you go there. That's the most popular man of God, you are watching. This one is now, this popular is reducing, you go for another person. You will keep, because you really have no life. Praise the Lord. If you are led by the Spirit of God in life, you will have self-control. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I met some folks. I gave me some of the richest in New York. And they told me, we want you to preach in 68 of our centers around the world. And I smiled. Good offer, but I'm not taking it. It's a good offer. I know some young preachers. If they just said 6.8, they put it on Facebook. Our ministry is reaching the world now. We are taking over the universe. No, calm down. You can actually hold back. Anything you can hold back, check it. Check it. Why can't you? Hold back. How old am I? Some folks, they do life so well, and they now peak so early. They just peak. So early. Even in ministry. Because you just want to please the world, you want to shine, you want to show, then you pick Paul, and that's all to it. You will never be able to, like Paul, say, I have finished my course. Because you ended where you ought not to have ended. Learn to hold back. What did I say? Hold back. It doesn't hurt. Have restraint. Ephesians 5:6. Now I hope you are learning something. Now this is the message now. He says, see what Paul says here. I'll start from verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly. Not as fools. The word circumspectly there is the word akribo. A-K-R-I-B-O. It means carefully. In this world, you see that word in Matthew 2:8, akribo. Matthew 2:8, Luke 1:3, Acts 18:25, Acts 18:25, Acts 18:26, Acts 23:15, Acts 23:15, Acts 23:20, Acts 24:22. It means you are careful. It's like how you draw a line. And then you are walking on that line straight. Carefully. 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 It says in this world, you must be careful. You must be what? See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Don't be careless. What did I say? Don't be careless. What did he say next? Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. The word redeem there means buy up. Make the most of time. This world is evil. Its desires is lost. So therefore you have to be careful. Redeeming the time. Same thing in Colossians 4:5. Rescue what you can rescue. You live in this world where your life is already programmed. You leave school. As you are graduating from, as you are in secondary school, by the time you get to now GSS 3, they are saying, what do you want to become in life? They have not even allowed you to get to SS1. Say, doctor, lawyer, professor. Okay, very good. By the time you are in your final year in secondary school, you are in the university. As you are in university, by the time you are graduating, if you are a lady, they say, we have not seen anybody. It's as though they have programmed life for you. So, you say, well, we have not seen anybody. What's going on? And then you say,
this and this. As you are meeting up that person, they say, I've met this guy, I've met this lady. Yeah. You met somebody, they bring the person, they say, hey, so when are you guys marrying? You know, time is going. She just left the wedding of someone who is her friend. The next thing, she's texting you. How far? He's texting you. So there's a whole lot this world takes from you. You go to your office, your boss just says, do this. As you're accomplishing one, something else on the table. Life just takes you on its own. But you know it, there's office work, there's this work, there's that work, there's society. Family will also be calling you. There are demands. You have to meet up with this demand, family occasion, everything is all there. So time is already choked up for you. He says, but you have to redeem it. You have to buy up as much as you can. You have to. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. They're against your faith. They're against your walking with God. Nigeria takes your time. It's all through your mind. You're just into all sorts. You're fighting, I want this Nigeria. I should leave that one. You're fighting village talk. Do this one. Your estate or where you live, there's something in your street. People are debating over it. Should we put the gate here? You are on that one. That is on your mind. You go to your office. There are demands, deadlines. Then you get home. The headmistress of your children's school or the principal has just changed the fees. You are there. Challenges. Life has its own demand. That is not peculiar to you. Then he says to the believer, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. In other words, write this down. You must be the master of your time. Don't allow legitimate demands to take your time. Because the days are evil. Verse 17 says, do not be unwise. That word there is, don't be inconsiderate. You must consider what you are doing. Don't be unwise. Consider it. Draw a line over what you are doing. Draw a line. Are you walking in the light of God's word? Are you walking in God's word? Are you? Things that have already affected you. Subtly. I used to tell people, you don't backslide overnight. It's a systematic application of backsliding. You stop praying for a while, it doesn't get to you again. You stopped studying the word of God the way you should, then it doesn't affect you. After a while, just take it like, it's because of what I do now. It's because I'm no younger than a child now. I'm not like a chief when I was young now. Not like when I was in university now. Now I know I have demands. God should know that now. I'm a senior professor. There are so many things to be done. After what I'm doing is also to the glory of God. Start giving excuses. I know that. You are not being careful. You are actually being careless. You are not being considerate. Your heart is no longer sensitive as it used to be. Because it says the days are evil. Say, I can't afford to be careless. Say, I choose to be careful. The life of God in us makes us careful. So that when we have offers, we think twice. Good offers, you think twice. Very good offer. Very, very good offer. You think twice. Sometimes, if you pray well about some things, you won't do them. Some people are taking trips outside the country. They want to collect this visa, or they want to collect the resident permits. And then, I called someone, I said, are you thinking about your local church? He said, what do you mean, sir? Say, your church. Say, I've never thought about it.
and you told me a 5-year plan of your life. So when I now go to the UK, I now travel back to this one, and I'll stay here. I said, what about church? He said, I didn't think about it. That's a fool. How would you think about leaving a country for another one and take your whole family in your foolishness and not think through? I said, I wasn't thinking. I said, please start thinking. Not as fools, but as wise. Because you want to be like some people. Your classmates in your former secondary school or university. Bode is in UK. Kola is in Australia. Me in Niger. What's in Niger? I gotta go. I gotta leave. Your mind is foolish. Are you following what I'm saying? There must be a sensitivity in your heart about it. Sometimes these things are legitimate things. It's not the essential, no. But eventually, when we don't take heed, what we want gets us into trouble. Never allow what you want to be the primary reasons why you do things. Brother Hagin told the story about, in the book Midas Touch, the very opening chapter, he talked about the legend of Midas. How the man said that he wanted everything he touched to turn to gold. So, he got it. So, as he was touching things, it became gold. That looks attractive. Then, he touched his cup, it became gold. Then he touched the water he wanted to drink, it became gold. His food became gold. Then his most precious daughter, as she was running toward him, he hugged her and she became gold. Then Brother Hagin asked the question, if you get all you want, would you want all that you get? There should be control. Now we pursue. Get it? Go for it. Go for your dreams. Go for your desires. But not at what? Not at what? Any cost. No. No. Sometimes it could cost you your ministry. Cost you supernatural relationships. Cost you your Bible study. Cost you your prayer life. Cost you your disciples. Some people are leaving the country, traveling out of Lagos, moving to Abuja, and they are not even thinking about disciples they are raising for the Lord. So what about disciples? It's the Lord that owns them, sir. Lord. I believe the Lord will take care of everybody. Say, you are foolish. Colossians 4:17. Are you learning something? Say to Archippus, what does he do? Take heed. Somebody take heed. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you fulfill it. If you don't have friends who say this to you, you don't have good friends. If no friend of yours says this to you, say, Chego, how is ministry? How you doing? What's up? What have you been doing? Or they ask you, what are you doing now? Good. What have been happening to you? Well, I just came back from a trip. You know, oh my God, you're moving, man. Me too, I just came back from, come on. And I just got some property here, you know, just met with the president of hell, and we're together for a while, you know. You don't have good friends. Say to Archippus, what happened to the ministry that you have received in the Lord? Acts 20:20, Paul says, take heed to yourself, the symbol of blepo, take heed to yourself. Or beware, watch yourselves, not blepo, watch yourself. Look at 1 Timothy 4:16. If you're a pastor, if you're a preacher, it says, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Taking heed is spiritual. What did I say? What did I say? It's being careful. I don't know what to say. When you are being careful, is it a function of fear? Huh? No. You are just being a Christian. Be careful. Watch your friends. Watch the thoughts that come to your mind. Is your heart sensitive? The moment your heart is no longer sensitive and you are not taking heed, then life and covetousness have overcome you. You must take heed. Think twice. Watch it. Take heed. Paul says, take heed. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Lest you fall in the sin. Lest you fall. Take heed. Watch it. Take heed to yourself. Romans 12:11. What are the things I look out for? The same passion with which you pursue your career, you pursue your business, you pursue this, you want to set up a family. Legitimate things though. You want to travel out, you want to buy things. Do you pursue the things of God the same way or more? The non-material. The moment the non-material things are secondary, brothers and sisters, you are now becoming foolish. You are no longer wise. The non-material things. Romans 12:11. Can we take it together? Come on, let's go. Not slothful in business. The word business there is not you going to do business. It's the word spode. Spode. S-P-O-U-D-E. It means diligence. Not slothful in diligence. The word slothfulness refers to inaction. Your efforts have reduced. You used to be in church every day. You used to be around your prayer group meetings. You used to be there in your study group. You submit your assignments on time. You used to, you know, attend to your disciples. You had more time to call up people. If somebody doesn't come to church among your disciples, you are so disturbed. You check the person that day, you know. But now, you are slothful. You don't put those efforts again. It's not like before. You don't go out the way you used to. If somebody says, pray for me, the way you used to go about it. If somebody's in a need, the way you used to go about it. Not anymore. You are now slothful. You are no longer fervent. The word fervent is the word zealous. It's the word to boil. When you are boiling, praise God. How many of you know when you are boiling about something? You are actually on fire. It's a passion. But now you do it, but not like with so much boiling passion. You just do it. It doesn't get to you like before. The way you want to, you a new teaching comes out on Living Word Media or in church, you want to get it, you want to listen to it. When it was CD, you almost steal money to buy it. The guy told me, he said, how were you when I was younger? I said, that's how I still am. I remember one time that Matthew Ashimolo had this book club. I joined then. I was number 3 in Nigeria. No, number 7 in Nigeria. I think it's still 7. At Isolo then. So, Red Bonky released the book, Mighty Manifestations. So, what I used to do then was, with any kind of book, I'll get the book. At that point, don't let me give you, so I'm boasting. That book came out. I didn't have the money. I said, I needed to get this book. I was number 7 on the list. I didn't get it. So I now decided to go and work just for that purpose. And I was selling Breeze on the road. Breeze pure water. So I got the money. I went to buy. Another series came out. And after I sell it, kerosene. Same passion. And I got it. So I was number 3 that got the book. But number 7 on the list of the book club. If today that changes, because now I have the comfort and luxury, there's something that's gone wrong with me. Are you following what I'm saying here? Nothing should change because of your status, your age, or your acquisitions. If anything has changed, the sensitivity of your heart has changed. How do you see sin? Are you now more relaxed about wrongdoing, disobedience, rebellion? Something has changed about you. Your pursuit of the things of God. When you miss a prayer meeting. You know, I have to talk myself out of this. If I go late for a service, I feel like I've sinned. In all the churches I belong to, all, I can tell you I've only been late once. All that I've ever attended in my life. Because that's why today it's not, if anybody has invited me, go ask anyone. I don't get late to meetings. Even if they were the cause, I will apologize. Right? It's not my style. If that changes, because maybe people now want you to preach for them, you have changed. That is what is called backsliding. You have changed. Things that you will do with passion. You will do with passion. The way I prepare to teach today was how I used to prepare 25 years ago, 24 years ago. The same thing. I can take advantage of the fact that she is church. But I'm not doing it for you alone. If you don't know that I am backsliding, God knows. He knew who I was. He knew how I sought for him as a younger teenager. So if that changes today, because now when I used to, when they're coming to preach, and the guy will tell me, MOG, you come on your own, no? I say, no, just let me yarn. Don't let me yarn. And sometimes I will trek to go and preach. Now someone cannot afford my tickets. I now don't go. Something has changed about me. Are you following what I'm saying? Sincerely, I go to places today and the kind of accommodation, you just stay there and you go, my God. Because now, you know, levels have changed now. It's true now. Levels have changed now. And I'll lie there and I'm like, wow. But you know what? I'll never complain to my host. I'm training myself. See, I ask myself, how were you years ago? How? I mean, I preach in places where me and the members of the church, we share the same bed. Say, Emoji, just... And I gladly welcomed it. Because for me, it was an opportunity to announce Jesus to the world. Has that changed? Because now, I can afford to fly anywhere in the world. I mustn't act that. I must act who I am in Christ. Samuel told Saul, when I chose you as king, says the Lord, were you not little in your own eyes? What has now become of you? You are now the pastor of Saints Community Church, a zonal pastor. You are now preaching. And blind eyes are being shut, deaf ears. Oh, sorry, open. You used to lead prayer before. You lead prayer. Now, because last night you raised the dead. They come and lead prayer. Oh, people of God, it's time to pray. Lever, laga, goga, laga logo, gaga gaga. You are crazy. You are mad. The world has entered your heart. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you that passionate? When you were a younger Christian, you will be in church 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Now you're a big boy. It shows in your stomach. Okay. What's going on? Password. It's a departmental meeting. Why? Is it every week? Have you forgotten who you were? That young guy, young girl, who had not gotten married, who all was in her heart was the Lord, who didn't have money, and you were not doing it for money. I told a fellow a few weeks back, I said, I never got into the ministry for money. Never. It was later on, when I heard some fathers, the so-called fathers, that I said, this thing can affect something. And I have to repent. I never did. That is why the first few years in ministry, I never collected honorariums. Every car was given, I gave it away. I got a house 23 years ago, I gave it away. Because I made a vow that I wasn't taking honorariums. Never did. It's not for money. Not at all. At all. Because your desire must be pure. So I checked my heart. Will I preach better for a guy who gives me 1 million than a guy who gives me 10,000? The moment I do that, something has changed about me. Check your heart. I never did. In fact, the day I vowed not to collect honorarium, the kind of money they now gave me, the meeting, they gave me, I was crying inside. How come I didn't make this commitment tomorrow? The guy said, what do I make? I said, I'm going to give it back. I said, I don't know, sir. I said, no. I said, let me do it. And I gave it back. I told some younger elements, some friends then, say, emoji, you give it back. I said, I said, no, it's my consecration, not yours. It must never change. Virtually every ministry today who gives to me when I preach, I give back to them. It's still a style. One way or the other, I find a way of giving back to them. Virtually all, if not all, most of them. I find a way of doing it. Because money must not be at the center. The moment money is involved in the work of the ministry, you will never preach the gospel. Never. You will never. Your needs must not motivate your doctrine. It's the other way around. The doctrine motivates or determines your needs. Be not slothful in business. Fervent in the spirit. Serving the Lord. When were you getting to service years ago? Is that the same thing today? How did you wake up to pray? Now you are too busy. Your work has taken over legitimately. The truth is, you are not wise. You are not careful. Fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Say to Archippus, the ministry you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Quickly, let's say this. Your zeal is your making. Say, my zeal is my making. I direct my passion. I direct my zeal. So zeal is not supernatural. Did you hear me? Zeal is not supernatural. Zeal is your making. Whatever you are zealous about is your own doing. Whatever you are passionate about is your doing. You are passionate about a sister, a brother, passionate about church, about Bible study, is because you wanted to. So you can determine to be passionate about something and be dispassionate about another thing. It's your making. Let me now ask you, are you passionate about prayer? Things are instant about Romans 12:12. Continuing instant in prayer. You don't think twice about prayer meeting. No. You pray. You say, let us pray now. You don't say, hey! Can I say, can I not? Be instant. Continue what? Instant in prayer. Colossians 4:2 and 4:3. The same thing. Be instant. Are you passionate about preaching? 2 Timothy 2:15. Be eager to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you fervent about loving people? And let me say this to many of us who are very young, you are sitting in the university, or just getting out of university. See, you must get ready for days where things will not be the same way. There will be days, you know, when you're on campus, you feel like there's nothing else in this world but Bible study. The world! The world! When you graduate, you will add L to that word. The world. But you must make up your mind before that day comes to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Any nation you get to, any country, as you are led by the Spirit of God, you already have a firm resolve to be careful. Many will travel, go to nations, Europe, America, and then they begin to live like those people there, uncontrollably. Why? Because they lost a sensitive heart. Their heart is now whatever goes. Check it. Are you passionate about loving others? 1 Peter 4:8. Fervent charity among yourselves. You want to give. You want to love people. Are you still passionate about the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12:31. Now when we have Holy Ghost meetings, you only contribute glory, glory. Say glory. That's all you contribute. But when you were younger, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the sign of spirit, gift of faith. You will just demonstrate those things. But now, you say, hallelujah. Your prophecy is now, you say, it will be certain. It will be certain. It will be certain.
Emoji!
You have lost it. That's not you. You were passionate. When we have Holy Ghost, when you have Holy Ghost in the university then, 20 minutes. Tongues, interpretation, just knowing. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Now, 20 seconds, you are saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. You have lost it. You are not fervent. Pursue spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 4:1. You are earnest about them. 1 Corinthians 14:2. 14:12. Converse to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:39. It is your own making. Paul said to Timothy, stop the gift that is in you. 2 Timothy 1:6. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not. It is your making. Say it is my making. Watch out. Watch out for the things that still bring you joy. Watch out. Are you still so excited when we get born again as you used to be? Philippians chapter 4 verse 1. My joy and my crown. He's talking about his disciples. My joy and my crown. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 19. Let's take it together. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 19. Let's go. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, verse 18, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Verse 19. Because we couldn't come, see what he said. 1 Thessalonians 2 19. Let's go. For what is our hope? Or our joy? Or kind of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. Hallelujah. You are our glory. Do those things still trip you? Men born again, growing in the word, and you are just glad. Sometimes you've had a bad day, a rough day, but you just remember someone who called you and thanked you for how you prayed for him. You remember someone who thanked you for sharing God's word, and you just go, well, this is what makes my day glad. Hallelujah. But you hear that and say, what's God before? When you hear, I don't get a lot. God, do we? Somebody, you are not happy. Boss, you are losing it. What makes you excited should never change. You are our joy, a crown of rejoicing. You so look forward to getting married that the day before you get the day of the wedding, you didn't sleep. You're just dreaming to hear, I do. But you don't look forward to church that way. You sleep, you oversleep and wake up late. You don't look forward to prayer meeting. But you are looking for a worldly event that will pass away. Sensitivity of the heart. What makes me and the unbeliever different is our pursuits. What we pursue. It doesn't take to be born again to want to have money. To be born again to want to have a PhD. Don't you be born again to want to get married? Abi? To want to have children? To want to live somewhere? To live large? That doesn't come with the Christian life. But with the Christian life comes the joy of the Lord. What are the things that motivate you? If they have changed, then you have lost a sensitive heart. I'll close with Revelation chapter 2, 3 verse 15. Ensure that your zeal for the Lord is not what you are using for business. Your drive for sex, to have a spouse, food, cars, life. Watch it. And you will live life and one day you will regret what you invested your life for. It wouldn't matter at the end of the day. Does giving still thrill you? Giving for the Lord. Outreaches. We're going for a miracle outreach this week. Are you excited about it? Do you want to see people healed? Born again? If it doesn't happen to you like that,
something is wrong. Something is wrong.
Revelation 3. Very instructive as we close. I know your works, verse 15. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wast cold or hot. So then, he says, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I taught this in the series on So Great Salvation 5C. You can get the meaning of that. And also in the teaching, what really are you doing? Well, you are just unconcerned. You are in church. You are here now. But your heart is not as, you are not as set as excited. You are just, because it's starting to begin to disturb me. But if God will not allow me to rest, that's why I'm here. Let me just come. The issue is, you are losing something. Something about this church, Laodicea, watch this, was that in verse 17, let's read verse 17 together. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. So were they prosperous? Were they prosperous? Their dreams came to pass. They were men of timber, caliber, and mahogany. Men of repute. The church was increasing in monetary influence, but they were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. They were having business seminars, entrepreneurship seminars, leadership conferences. They were growing in class in society and in number. But hear this. Because you see, I'm rich, and increased with the goods and having of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Your material well-doing has nothing to say about your spiritual status. Blessed, there was a song I heard, your song I heard in Uyo, and it really blessed me. And I want you to sing that song before we close. I give you my heart. It was so touching the way they sang it. I was so glad the way they sang it. Very different way they sang it. After I taught them on the work of the ministry, they sang that song. Sing that song for us. I give you my heart. Sensitivity of the heart means your heart is still doing the same way it was when you knew the Lord. When you needed to live, to pray, to study, to reach the world, nothing to change.